Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Listen, being very, very honest with you girls, the rebound can be sweet, yeah? The rebound guy can be a hottie.
Facts. Everyone is one bad encounter away from being a horrible person.
Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Renee.
And I'm Courtney, and we are your online big sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
Now, we are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development for a community of sisters across the world.
And in today's conversation, we are going to be talking about post-breakup recovery. Now, we know that sometimes you need to cut off a friend or leave that relationship or situationship. But right. Once you've made the decision to choose your peace and part ways, how do you deal with the feelings of loneliness, being by yourself, and how do you put your best foot forward in starting over, trusting again, and being open to welcoming new friends and lovers into your life? Mm-hmm. Today's episode is actually an amazing suggestion from the sisters over on Instagram. Yes. We are super excited to actually be doing episodes which you suggest, which we have been doing along the way. But if you haven't already followed us on Instagram at To My Sisterhood, please do, because we often ask you for ideas on content, what you want to see, what you want us to talk about, mm-hmm. and what you need help with. So without further ado, you already know what time it is.
Dun, dun, dun. It's a ding, ding, ding dilemma. Oh, that was excellent. I think we need to add that in. That was, did you hear the decibels? The octaves.
Thank you, Lord. You want to book me? I'm taking questions. Okay. But let's get into this dilemma. I believe today's life dilemma comes from the United States of America.
No way.
I think so. I don't know what state, but shout out to our American sisters. We love
Big up America. I have a lot of love for my American sisters.
Yes. Surrogate. She used to live there.
Surrogate American here. You know what I'm saying?
I just have a Southern Black woman living inside of me. I genuinely think in my past life.
I see that for you.
Thank you.
I see that for you.
Thanks. Anyway, sugar, let's get into the dilemma.
Okay, sugar, she did. Y'all see what she did here?
I'm telling you, her name is, I don't know what sort of name to give her though. She might be a Shelly.
Shelly?
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 We can rock with Shelly.
What's a more like?
Sherry Ann?
Nah, Sherry Ann is a bit too, she's wholesome. She's a like Southern Belle kind of old school woman who's got attitude.
To our Southern sisters, please.
I don't know what state, though.
Give Courtney's alter ego a name.
Sorry.
Missouri? Anyway, Missouri.
I don't know anything about that place. Sorry.
I am sorry for you Missourians. I'm sorry for you.
We need to get into the dilemma. Anyways. Okay, cool. Hi, Courtney and Renee.
Hey. Hello.
I am reaching out to you because I need help with finding my voice and making true connections with people. I graduated college last year and I have been working in this Panasonic since July, aka pandemic. I moved to a new state and I'm working in a new field that is completely different from my previous internships. I'm having such a hard time connecting with my coworkers and creating real friendships outside of work. I do have social anxiety. Whilst I am able to get my job done, I'd like to get better at earning the trust of others and becoming someone that people actually look forward to meeting. There is this saying that goes, people will forget what you said/did, but they will never forget how you made them feel. I've always been shy and a bit self-preservative, and I would like to know how you two have become so confident in sharing your stories and speaking your mind. And then she gives some examples of how she's been struggling. Mm-hmm. I often feel like I don't have a voice. I find it hard to express how I'm feeling when it matters. For example, I was disrespected by an older coworker who told me that I was wasting company time and resources after I volunteered while he was working from home to complete a task. It was a simple task that took me less than 10 minutes to put together, and I IM'd him and asked if I could get if I could get feedback when he gets back to the office. Mm. He wrote an aggressive paragraph telling me that I should ask before doing next time, which is code for don't think for yourself. Receiving that unnecessary message from him made me freeze. And in that moment, I realized that I have no idea how to stand up for myself, how to be aggressive, and how to use my words to explain my stance and foster support. Why was I so scared? Mm-hmm. On a different note, I've recently lost my best friend. Aww. We had an argument regarding our differences in communication. I wanted her to show more interest in my life, similarly to how I support her, and she took it as a critique on her character and concluded that my expectations are too high. Now more than ever, I find myself feeling really lonely, and I'm beginning to doubt the way that I view relationships. In any case, this has me deeply reconsidering the kind of friendships that I want to have, the kind of conversations I'd like to experience and learn from. I literally cannot grow as a person until I figure things out socially. Sometimes it feels as though I am in the world's smallest bubble and nothing I have is sharp enough to burst it. I want to find my voice and confidently navigate any and every new environment. I want to stop being so fearful. Like, who gonna check me? How have you two found your voice, and how have you used it to foster your network and your community? So it's a long one, but it's a good one.
Yeah.
You know, being more confident in your voice, whether it comes to relationships and friendships or at work, is so important because people can take you for idiot. Like this coworker, for example, this passive aggressiveness at work.
Ring, ring, ponder, HR. Because I don't business.
Real talk, actually. You're right.
You cannot speak to me anyhow. Do you know who I am?
Talk to me nicely.
My goodness.
Yeah, but what advice do you have for sis? I guess, how do you think we became confident in saying things that annoyed us, but also just speaking our minds in the moment?
Yeah, I think for both of us, we've been, I guess, privileged in a way to be in a lot of, well, not privileged, because some of the situations we've been in have been
unfortunate.
So I think it's a balance of like, no, I think the word is challenged. We've both been challenged by being placed in situations which mean that we cannot afford to be small, and we cannot afford to not have our voices heard. So going to university, owning businesses, or, you know, going to work or doing content creation.
Yeah.
By virtue of stepping into these spaces, we have to get used to articulating ourselves well and also articulating our opinions well, such that it can be heard and it can be seen, and it is visible, and it is something that is well put together.
Yeah.
So I think just straight off the bat for us, it's very much about pushing yourself and putting yourself in situations that actively make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So for example, the one of the examples that our good sis actually put in terms of like confronting her best friend.
Yeah.
I know that that was awkward and uncomfortable, but that was actually a really, really good example of being able to actually articulate how you're feeling and how you're thinking, because you can never really control anybody's response.
This is it.
But it's better that you articulate how you think and how you feel, because if it doesn't manifest as exactly that, it will manifest as something worse later on. So it's better that you're actually very clear about your communication and very clear about the things that like trouble you or worry you in a relationship, because that will crop up master something else.
100%.
It's unfortunate that you lost your best friend, and friendship breakups is never easy and it's never fun.
Nope.
But I definitely don't think that you should take her response as a reflection on your character or the way that you've articulated things.
Yeah.
Because you simply just cannot control other people and their response.
Exactly. That's really good.
Speaking to, I guess, more of a professional lens and dealing with you know, the very real reality of working with people that, you know, you may not like or may not like you or are speaking to you anyhow. And I guess more widely is you teach people how to speak to you, irrespective of what level you're at, irrespective of where you're, you know, where you are. You can, it's like in my head, as you were reading out the example, I was just thinking, with all due respect, I was already thinking in my,
this is like,
the response that I would give, with all due respect, I made an active choice to do X, Y, Z.
To work on this.
Absolutely. This is something that I was passionate about. Yeah. And I think in those kind of situations, professional situations, you need to be able to articulate yourself professionally, clearly, and without any kind of passive aggression.
Yeah.
And if you see any passive aggression that makes you feel uncomfortable, you have to escalate it.
This is it.
This is something that I actually dealt with a couple, like maybe a year or so ago, when I was working with folk that were speaking to me anyhow. I don't like it. Courtney already knows. I don't like it when people speak to me anyhow. 100%. I don't like being shouted at. I don't like passive aggression.
That's how she lost her first job. You said it on the podcast before. You just walked out. Rightfully so.
But I'm screaming.
Yeah. But you don't take it. You just don't take it. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to even talk about like all of that good stuff in the next episode. But yeah, you need to set the example of how you would like to be treated and spoken to.
Yeah.
And then when those boundaries are overshot, you escalate it. Because as much as they're a senior colleague, everybody needs to be, you know, treated with respect.
This is it.
And company culture dictates that. I'm pretty sure that if you're working at a company that actually cares about its employees, or to an extent is actually very, very much cognizant of the kind of effects that that kind of mistreatment can breed, you can escalate it to HR.
100%.
So in my particular situation, the feedback that I was receiving, it was just rude in my opinion. I just, there was no need for you to be like mean.
That aggressive.
It's actually mean. So I escalated it to HR. I literally called them up. I was like, listen, my mental health is at stake here. I am a valued member and employee here. Yeah. I would like to, you know, continue working here, but this has made me feel very, very uneasy. And they sorted it out ASAP. They were like, listen, we can't have any of that.
It's really good.
But taking several steps back even further, finding your voice always starts with you. We are such big advocates of internal work, and being able to articulate yourself actually starts with how you see yourself. And I would hazard a guess, the fact that, you know, obviously social anxiety is something that we all deal with to, you know, varying extents. But how do you see yourself? Do you actually value what you have to say? Do you think that you actually have good things to contribute? Do you think that you actively, genuinely want to impact other people with the things that you say? And if the answer to those is a hesitation or a no, then there's actually some internal work that needs to be done first before you can actually start using your voice. So,
I love that.
Miss Courtney.
That was so good.
I felt like that was, you know, a bit rambly.
That was, it was not trying to touch at all. That was
multiple bases.
And you have covered all the bases. Like I 100% agree. I think in regards to the last thing you touched on, it is internal work, and it is finding confidence in yourself by believing that what it is you have to say is important. Now, I think one aspect of speaking your mind in a professional setting, which I think you highlighted very well, is you don't always have to match people's tone. You want to match people's energy. And I think if he's going to be aggressive, you don't have to be aggressive. I think sometimes, especially if you're working in, sometimes men talk in a particular way that women are scared to talk, like in a way that women are scared to talk in the workplace. So I've been seeing this like TikTok or reel going around where it's like trying to email like my male colleagues, and you take out all the pleases and all the, you know, hey, the gentleness in the workplace, and you're just assertive and you're clear. For some people, that doesn't come naturally to them. And I think that that's completely fine. I don't think you should make efforts to sound like something you are not. I think if you have a tone that is, you know, okay, I'm not as confrontational as a person, I think in matching people's energy, the best thing is to use other people's voices to your advantage. So in this case, using the authority of a human resources department, or using the authority of another team member, not to hide behind them, but to say, you know what, you may not receive what it is I'm saying because I'm not an aggressive person, and I'm not going to come out of my character just to be rude as you were rude to me. But what I am going to do is show you that I can match your energy, and I'm happy to take this to somebody with authority, not because I don't have it, but because you're not going to be receptive to what it is I have to say, especially if I don't have the full confidence in knowing that I can stand for myself just yet. Don't be afraid to lean on other people who do. It's like, it's kind of like having, you know, when you there's a bully on the school ground, like a playground, and sometimes you're a bit like, I know I need to stand up for myself, but I'm scared you're going to punch me in the face. So I'm going to go and get one of the bigger kids that's actually one of my friends to come and help you, like to beat you up. And I feel like that's a good place to
bring
start.
In the year 12.
Yeah. Do
you know what bring I mean? In the year 12.
That's a good place to start. And don't see that as a sign of weakness, but actually see that as a sign of assertiveness and a first step to getting you closer to believing that in your workplace you deserve to feel heard and appreciated. But also the same way they have confidence to speak to you in that way is the same way you should have confidence to know that you can let your thoughts be known as well. That's why you're there, that's what you're paid for. You shouldn't be a doormat. But I think in terms of finding, I guess, our own voices and being confident in it, it's important, like you said, actually, don't see other people's responses as an indication of like speaking my mind is wrong because people respond negatively to it. In this case of your best friend, just because your best friend took it as an attack on her character rather than an opportunity to improve in your friendship and to grow your relationship stronger, doesn't mean speaking your mind will automatically always come with negative consequences. And I think sometimes these things can scare you once you finally step out of your shell and somebody responds so negatively to it, still keep going. Because like Renee said, you did the right thing. That was the right approach to speak your mind. Oh yeah, how have you used your voices to foster a network / community? In wanting to make friends, you have to be friendly. And as you said, people don't really remember what you did for them. They remember how you feel. And I think in whatever unique way you are personally, be nice, be kind, be open to a degree that makes you comfortable. And as you build more rapport with people, I think you'll find that you'll open up more. It's not like you're incapable of making friends. You had a friend. So I think having social anxiety is different to being extremely socially awkward, you actually find it impossible to make friends because of just how you are. But you are open to friendship and you desire friendship, and I think you must first display the thing that you desire. So if you do want people to talk to you more, start talking to people with something as simple as hi, how are you, how was your weekend. Get to know people more and give them the opportunity to start talking, and hopefully you can bounce off of them and their energy and their openness as well, and hopefully that can make you more comfortable to be open yourself. It does take time, but it takes intentional effort, and finding people who maybe in spaces that you're more comfortable with. So finding people with common interests so you can talk on something you're more confident about, and then verging into talking to people about unknown things, you know, getting to know them and stuff. But finding common ground on things that you enjoy, for example, like TV shows, sports, whatever it may be, like, oh, did you see this? Did you see that? Do you watch this? And then talk about your thoughts on it. And you never know what will organically spring from there. But it all comes with practice and it's all a journey. Finding confidence, like you, Renee said, it starts with internal work. And that internal work isn't always easy, but it's necessary. So keep at it, sis. Keep at it. And those coworkers, you need to set them in their place. I'm not going to lie. Email your HR now.
Immediately.
Okay. Hope that helped.
Oh.
You were actually disgusted.
What? Can you imagine receiving that email? Oh, somebody's head is getting chopped.
Oh, goodness me. But yeah, hopefully that helped you, sis. If you would like to send us a dilemma, please send it to our email at, sorry, I was about to say our handle. Wow. Please send it to our email, hello@tomysisters.com. But you can also DM us at @tomysisterhood. Awesome. It was relevant. But into today's conversation.
Let's get into it.
Recovering from a breakup. Like our good sis in the dilemma was saying, she broke up with her best friend recently, and that is a heartbreak that is crippling sometimes. But also losing a lover, that word lover is still.
It's so funny.
I love it.
My lover.
Me and my lover.
Me and my lover.
If there's a quick way to make someone feel uncomfortable, just refer to them as your lover.
Yeah, that's actually funny. Who is this man to you? That's my lover.
That's my lover. No other context but that. But yes, recovering from a breakup or a situationship. Because some of the girls, I mean, it's a hot girl summer and it's going to leave you with a bit of loose ends that you're going to have to tie. I'm not going to lie. Anyway.
Not loose ends.
It's a holy hot girl summer anyway. I'm so screaming. Yeah. Yeah. But in the sense of once you're recovering from losing someone in your life, right? Not in a morbid way, but in the sense of someone's left, someone's made an exit on your own terms, on amicable terms, on terrible terms, whatever that may be, it can sometimes lead to feeling lonely because now you're by yourself. For example, if me and you weren't to be best friends anymore.
You need to stop. Don't even. Don't even.
Hypothetically speaking.
Don't even. Because you know I'll be outside your door with a boombox. Good day, Daniela.
I could definitely see you dancing in the rain.
And I will. I'll do it. I'll do it.
But if we were, God forbid, but to never be, to not be friends anymore, right? I feel like there'll be a huge void in my life, right? And I think sometimes the spaces that people leave in your life and the emptiness that it leaves you feeling often can make you feel lonely. Mm-hmm, and now you feel like you come to the reality that you actually are to a degree by yourself. You've lost a part of yourself. How do you cope with that feeling, right? Mm. First of all, there's the initial shock.
Yeah.
Where's this person? The person I used to call all the time or the person I used to kiki with.
Yeah.
Because even if you end on bad terms, there were good parts, you know?
Definitely.
Sometimes your sex partner is gone. you don't know what to do.
What now?
What do I do with all this time and these feelings? But in the sense of how do you deal with that feeling of loneliness?
Mm. Oh, goodness. There were so many memes that were going through my mind as you were speaking. I was even thinking of, you know, Akon's song. Lonely, I am so lonely. I have nobody all on my own. In my chest, I was nervous because I was like, we're going to hit that octave.
I didn't even try. It's like that bit in Happy Birthday.
Yeah.
Happy
Birthday.
Everyone has to go quiet.
Listen, there's certain octaves that I just know we have not been blessed with that kind of range.
Leave that to Mariah. Really? Mariah Carey, listen, she can have all that.
Mariah, girl, you're chopping us out here. She gave what it was supposed to be given.
And she's still being paid for it.
She ate us up. But yeah, coming back to... It's coming back to dealing with loneliness. I love the fact that you touched on all the varying degrees and various ways that we can feel loneliness. Because I think there's so much like focus on like, oh, you know, when you break up with someone romantically, your whole life is in the bin. Yeah. You're out here eating Ben and Jerry's, you're watching TV screens and all of that kind of stuff. Whereas sometimes it can actually be a friend or sometimes it can even be someone you're related to that actually just walks out of your life.
Yeah.
I mean, we've spoken at length about like familial trauma. And I think many sisters, as well as brothers, really can relate to, you know, maybe having a parental figure walk out. You know, what do you do with that space? Because that space can really ripple, not just, you know, right now, but like over the course of your life, you're really missing somebody. And I think before we talk about like dealing with loneliness, I think we need to actually recognize that we're lonely.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us will, listen, everybody's out here capping. They don't want to admit that they're heartbroken. They don't want to admit that they're lonely.
All by myself.
Listen, trust nobody. Lonely, only person I trust is myself. I love myself. Focusing on myself. Glowing up for myself. I'm glowing up mentally, spiritually,
me, myself,
physically,
and
everything.
I.
You'll be saying you, yourself, and I, but let that person that you've just broken up with walk across the street all of a sudden. Did they catch me?
I hope you see
why
I'm happy.
Why are you still looking at their Instagram profile from your friend? Your friend is stalking their profile
that
for you.
That little Finsta.
You think we don't know? We know. We know. So I think we need to actually acknowledge the fact that there has been a death of sorts. A death in the sense that there is now a what feels like a vacant space in your life where you've given time, you've invested emotional energy towards somebody, and that has now transformed into something else, which is often empty space. Dealing with loneliness can be really, really tough. I think that this is a time where you really do want to lean on the other people that you have in your life. So for example, if it is a romantic breakup, you might actually want to lean on your friends and actually your close friends, that is, or any like people within your community. And likewise, if it's a friendship breakup, I'm sure you didn't break up with your one friend.
Yeah.
I mean, if you do,
your only friend.
Yeah. If there is only one friend, then this is a great time to seek others.
Yeah.
And really lean on them emotionally. Like, I think there's also a fear of being seen as vulnerable and a fear of opening up to people, because we're always conscious of the fact of A, we don't want to be a burden, and B, we don't want people to like have one up on us or something like that. Like, oh, they know my trauma. They know everything about me. There's something like people think it's powerful to keep all of their secrets to themselves. Yeah. When really, you're out here suffering and in silence. You're out here suffering. You're crying. Under facts, your bed, facts, in your bed, facts, you're crying. At 3 a.m. in the morning, you wake up, you're crying. It's not healthy.
Yeah.
And then I think in, not even in the extreme circumstances, but if you are able to access it, definitely get therapy and talk it through. It's actually fine. Talk it through. Talk about, you know, the mother or the father that left.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, the friend that decided it ain't gonna work anymore.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, the romantic partner that has decided to call it quits. But what's really, really important with dealing with loneliness is actually being able to fall back on the resources that you actually have around you.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Like, you haven't lost everything. And so what remains, you have to cherish. I think also in learning to, you have to learn to be comfortable being by yourself.
Yeah.
Like, and not being by yourself as in lonely, away from everybody, but in the sense that sometimes when people leave our lives, we can feel like they've taken something with them that we actually need.
Mm-hmm.
Like if somebody was, you know, a huge affirming voice in your life and they've left in whatever way, it now feels like, where's my affirmation and my reassurance going to come from? Where's my encouragement going to come from?
Yeah.
If somebody was the main form of intimacy in your life and an intimacy that you needed to not necessarily function, not in a healthy, unhealthy dependency, but in a sense of, if somebody in your life was the main giver of affection to you and now they've left, you're going to be feeling like, where am I going to get affection from, you know, and or who's going to love me, where am I going to receive that from? And I think what's important is, in being alone, learning to channel those things from within you rather than relying on an external source of it. So learning to love yourself, learning to affirm yourself, learning to be affectionate towards yourself and your gentleness and your, in the way that you care for yourself, in discovering, like for me, for like being a Christian, knowing how much and having to remind myself how much God loves me so that I'm okay with myself rather than depending on other people to be those things that I need. So you're not feeling lonely per se, you're just alone. Right. And that sometimes being alone is fine. And it comes with its own challenges, and you have to live up to each and every one of those tests, but it teaches you a lot. And I think one great way to deal or to get through the season of loneliness well, or not this, loneliness isn't really a season, it's more of a feeling. I think the season is being more so with yourself and learning to discover yourself independent of other people, and then to build yourself back up so that you can welcome people in again. In order to navigate that season of now being alone, you have to start realizing just how much you are enough, right? And sometimes that is the most challenging thing, because we associate our strength and our most positive moment with being with someone else. When you're alone, you don't always have the opportunity to, for example, some of my funniest moments have been with you. If I was constantly alone, how would I know I was funny?
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless I actually start exploring myself, sometimes I can think you know that term, you bring out the best in me. But that doesn't mean the best in me is only exclusive to you.
Yeah.
You know? Yes, you bring out the best in me, but the best in me is always here. I can tap into it and experience it for myself. I can use my gifts, I can use my talents, and I can enjoy my personality, even if you're not there. And that could be giving it to other people in your community, but not attaching it to just one person and latching onto one person and thinking, now that they're gone, I've lost a part of me. And I think that that's a huge thing to overcome mindset wise. Don't let somebody take a part of you with them. Like, you have to hold on to yourself and have a good firm grasp of knowing who you are and enjoying that independent of someone else's company per se. But yeah, that's what I'd say. But then in the sense of, now you're learning to be by yourself. You're learning to accept that you're alone and you're okay with it. But no man is an island. Yeah. So how do you prepare yourself to start over? To find that new friend, to find that new lover, or to find that new relationship? How do you prepare yourself to be open? Because you know all the girls got trust issues these days. But we'll talk more about that in a minute.
You need to stop giving me references to songs.
Do you want a musical episode?
I think. Because you know we out here experimenting with the episodes a little bit. I think.
It's a new form.
Hello, trust issues.
It's fair. I was about to say, do you want to give us some rendition?
Trust issues. Okay, I'll stop. How to start over. So if the first step in like starting over is you need to heal.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like for you. The thing is, like, going through breakups, oh, man, they hurt. They have you out here doing some crazy things.
Say it again.
Bruh, like, listen, some of the breakups that I've had, it's not even like they've been super dramatic, but it's like, you know, when you've actually loved and cared for a person for a really long time or, like, for a substantial amount of time and you feel like you've actually invested a lot of yourself into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever that looks like for you, healing needs to be the priority because you won't be able to start over once you have effectively closed the chapter before. Like when you start something, it's like, you know, when you open like multiple tabs on your computer and you're doing work on each and every one.
Yeah.
None of them really get finished.
Yeah.
You have to actually work through each one, close it, and then move on to the next one. That's a more like linear and I guess more effective way of getting through work in general.
It's just less making sure.
Exactly. Because your mind is not, you know, constantly thinking about, you know, what happened in a very unhealthy way.
Yeah.
And I think you also need to give yourself some time to do that. I think particularly in like romantic relationships, I know there's the hot girls out there, but hear me out before you start your hot girl summer. There's the temptation, like, you know, this guy is like, we've broken up. He's, doesn't understand what he's missing. I'm going to find another dude that actually recognizes me for my worth.
The rebound. Listen,
being very, very honest with you girls, the rebound can be sweet. Yeah. The rebound guy can be a hottie.
Facts.
He's cute. Okay. Facts. You know, he's hench. He's sweet. Good looking.
He is everything that you know you shouldn't have.
Everything.
Real sweet.
But let me tell you something. It's unhealthy. I know you didn't 100. Want to hear that. It's unhealthy.
100.
Okay. He may be, you know, a sweet darling. Okay. He might be sending you all the right messages. Mm-hmm. He might be Mr. Right. But for you, he's not Mr. Right now. Okay. You need to give it some space. You actually need to give it some time. Because even that whole, the whole framework of thinking is absolutely problematic. Because again, you're looking for another person to validate what you felt you had with that other person.
Yeah.
Your mind isn't on, you know, learning more about that person. Your mind isn't on, you know, creating a relationship that isn't tainted with your traumas that you've actually experienced as a result of your breakups.
Yeah.
So in order to start afresh, you need to heal and close the chapters of your particular book with that person and transition to a place where you feel comfortable with it. Now, this may be difficult depending on how that relationship ended. I think if you end amicably, and I do recognize that that's a privilege, right? To end things amicably.
100%.
But again, that can also be tricky because then you have to think about the transition into certain boundaries. So especially if you have like a situationship that you've decided to end, it might be difficult to transition into just friends, or it might be difficult to transition into something more platonic because you now have to erect boundaries that you're not used to having. And you can mask it with the whole, oh, but we're amicable, we're friends, we know each other, we can do this. You need to do this alone. You need to have a breakaway and you need to close that chapter too before you can re-engage that person too. If you've had more of a, like, I guess, troublesome breakup, depending on where you're at, like if it was an abusive breakup, for example, if you've actually left an abuser, then by all means, you just need to, like, contact needs to be ended for a very, very long period of time. And you need to initiate the process of healing, going to therapy, and figuring out how to, again, close the chapter of the trauma that you've experienced first before moving on. I can't tell you how long that's going to last. Sometimes it may last a month, 6 months, a year even, 2 years, and that's completely fine. Don't be rushing to start the next chapter still dealing with the outfall of the last chapter. Give yourself a page break. Give yourself some time to breathe first before you move on. And it also gives you the opportunity to really realign your values and really think about and focus. What is it that you actually want?
Yeah.
And what is it that you actually need right now?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Into a new relationship with anybody.
What I was going to say. I think it's a great time to reassess your standards, your values, your boundaries, identify how they were crossed the last time, and not just the mistakes of the other person, because it's easy to lose somebody and think because they've exited, they were in the wrong.
That's good.
But actually, it could be you were the one who's exiting their life.
This is true.
Now you need to assess, where did you go wrong, or where did you let people cross the line, and why did you let them cross the line? For example, in the dilemma, you know, is it that I have a confidence issue? Am I scared to speak my mind? Or am I actually a person who is more of a villain? Am I more
not villain,
problematic? No, I'm using the term we used in our generational trauma generational trauma episode, but in the sense that am I the antagonist in this situation? And so I think what's important to do is really have some self-awareness now and do a good self-assessment in terms of, how did I perform in that relationship? How can the way that I performed in that relationship hinder a new relationship, and really tackle those issues from the inside out? Another good way to prepare over is get your confidence back, right? It's easy for somebody to have a breakup of a situationship, or to lose a friend and now think, something's wrong with me. You know, like, this has to be a reflection of my worth, my value, and how important I am as a person. And it may not be, it's probably not any of those things. Actually, get your confidence back in believing that you actually deserve good things and you can have good things. And I guess this is also a good way to get over trust issues, to know that even though someone may have violated your trust, not everybody is like that, and you need to give people the benefit of the doubt, including yourself. And so I think, in order to prepare yourself, you need to start learning to be open, and you start opening up, like you said, in vulnerability, but also being confident in being open, that if I am vulnerable, I am not too scared of what people will see, because I realize that there's beauty in it. There may be some, you know, ugliness, some past experiences, whatever, but I'm dealing with those things, and all things have come together to make something beautiful that is me as a person in my full experience, and being confident in that. So get your confidence back, sis. That's what I'd say. But then, what are the mindsets you have to tackle then in order to really get over trust issues? Because when people leave your life, sometimes they can leave serious scars, right? How do you, like, the nitty gritty of healing, what would you say is one of the biggest mindset shifts you have to have?
That's a really good question. I'm so sorry. I literally have thought of another song as well, but I'm not going to.
Come on, musical interlude break.
Gosh. Okay, bear with me with this one. Bear with me. You know, High School Musical?
Yeah.
I've got to move on and be who I am. What about us?
Just don't belong here. I hope you understand.
I'm trying to understand.
What's the next words? I watched High School Musical in like 10 years.
We might find our place in this world someday. But at least for now,
I want you to stay.
I gotta go my own way.
Wow. Vanessa and Troy.
Listen.
They were going through some stuff. That's too much drama for their age, you know. We actually need to do a whole breakdown of High School. That puts some very bad ideas in our mind.
Do you know what would
mind.
Actually be really cool? Like, looking at some of our past shows that we were, like, really invested
and how they have ruined our perception of life.
Them, because they were, like, what, 17?
If that. Talk about, I've got to move on and be... This is a high school flick. You met what's in the snow somewhere.
Listen.
On
listen,
one vacation.
Listen. And then when we've done that, we have to do Camp Rock as well, because they were going through some. Listen.
Which do you prefer, Camp Rock or High School Musical? What do you think is better?
Better? High School Musical.
Really?
Yeah.
But did Camp Rock have two parts?
Yeah, that second part was
terrible. Awful. But I feel like Camp Rock number one could easily tackle, like, the first three High School Musical films. Ha. Yep. First of all, I heard this opinion recently. I can't remember who from that High School Musical had way too many. It continued for way too long.
Yeah, it did. No. Way they should have stopped. Two was even a stretch. But they had some good music in there.
Did you? I preferred High School Musical 2 to the first one.
Really?
100. I feel like because Sharpay got her shine.
Yeah.
She really got Sharpay her shine. Sharpay was also not that.
The villain that, anyways, we'll come back to
it. Yeah, we'll have to do that on the side.
But back to dealing with loneliness. Yeah. Thank you guys for your patience with our musical interludes this episode.
This episode is not yet sponsored by Disney, but we're working on it.
We're working on it. Disney Plus, if you see this. But yeah, the biggest mindset shifts that you have to, I guess, take into account when you are trying to start over and, you know, overcome trust issues and all of that good stuff is seeing vulnerability as a weakness, I would say, as number one. I touched on it earlier on, but I think, I genuinely think in like being vulnerable is seen as such a weakness in the sense that people often feel that because they have opened up to another individual, and as a result of that not working, it's the vulnerability and the opening up that was the reason for the downfall and the failure of that relationship. So that's why a lot of people tend to have like their guard up or their walls up when it comes to new relationships, because they think that they're them being open and giving,
it's going
to scare somebody off, right? Classic. It literally always happened. And even with me, sometimes I have to G-check myself in the sense that I'm always think like, kind of on the sly, I'm like, how much of myself should I give to this person?
I think it's important that's important though.
Definitely. 100. I think it's definitely important. But when it gets to the point where, as you said in one of our previous episodes, that you're building a fortress.
Yeah. You're completely blocked off.
And you have now become the thing that you're actually trying to avoid. And in fact, you've actually become the opposite of everything that you are.
Yeah.
In order to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes self-preservation ends up destroying everything else in its path.
Yeah, it's not defense, you become offensive.
Precisely. So I think seeing vulnerability as a weakness is probably one of the biggest things that people have to overcome. And not in the sense of like, you know, you should go and open yourself up to every Tom, Dick and Harry that you come across, whether it's a friend or whatever, but not allowing how you naturally are in relationships and the good things that you really bring, the value that you bring to relationships, not allowing that to dim as a result of the past trauma that you've experienced.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a lot of internal work that you have to do to be able to get back to that place where you feel comfortable enough to do that.
Yeah.
But remember, the new people in that, you know, come into your life, it's not their responsibility to fix something that they didn't break.
Ooh.
And I think a lot of us place the responsibility on people coming up or new people to fix things that they were never a part
of. This is it.
Think about like, I think we see it most commonly with romantic partners, but we see it in friendships too.
Yeah.
Where we think, we approach like, you know, potential partners and we're like, you know, you need to like work hard to get X, Y, Z. Or like, you need to prove to me that you're, you know, not like all the other men and, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And this bloke has just come into your life. Like, he's just here like, yo, I just thought you were pretty. And I was like, let me see where this is going. But, you know, you next come man.
With a lot.
Listen, next man came and like added baggage that you want me to fix. I can't do that. I don't have the power to do that.
Facts.
So being willing to overcome that, I would definitely say is one thing that you genuinely need to unpack before you step into another relationship.
I love that.
Definitely.
I love that. That's so true. Just making people jump through so many hurdles and tests. It's unnecessary, sis.
My man just asked you for a coffee and now you're like, listen.
Yeah.
I'll say yes to a coffee, but like you need to understand that. Yeah. Obviously, I come with a lot of, you know, you've got to work.
But even because this is the thing, and people use it as like a, and you'll do it because you'll do it to show me that I'm important to you, right? If you think I'm worth a lot, then you will pass all these tests and jump through all these hoops. People don't want to be tested like that. Actually, it's very, it's tiring. Like it's very draining when someone keeps testing you and you haven't shown them any reason why they should doubt you. They're using other people's failures and they're projecting that onto you. And I think, I guess my mindset thing would be, you're not the only clean-hearted person. Oh. And I think oftentimes we can get so like, no one else is to be trusted. Does that include you? Oftentimes we are happy to accept that. No, I'm a good person. I just don't believe that anyone else is a good person. Get that self-centered thinking right. out of your brain. Like everyone is one bad encounter away from being a horrible person, yeah. basically. And I think it's important to give everyone the benefit of the doubt and realize that the range of the human experience is that oftentimes you do not live up to your expectations for yourself even. Sometimes we have high standards for our own character. One bad traffic situation and you completely violated that code.
Road rage. Different.
You know, exactly. And so we can all disappoint ourselves. It doesn't make us intrinsically bad people. It just means that we need to work on ourselves and actually see how we react in different circumstances and different experiences with different triggers. Yeah. And so stop thinking that you're the only clean-hearted person. There are other clean-hearted people out there. And with that mindset and with that thinking, you need to be open to accepting that, yes, some people can make mistakes. And yes, you should analyze people and really observe their behavior and how consistent they keep tripping up. Because sometimes trip-ups are just consistent bad behavior. Mm-hmm. But I think what's important is being open to knowing that there are good people out there.
Yeah.
Because you can easily think, all men are this, all women are this, all friends are this. Nah, you've got to be open to giving people the benefit of the doubt. In order and just generally, love, relationships, it's a risk. Vulnerability is a risk. There will always be an element of opening yourself up. If you're going to open yourself up to be loved, you open yourself up to be hurt.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of us get stuck. I don't want to be hurt, but you're closing yourself off from love too. Yeah. So either you completely accept that you want to be alone forever or you take the risk.
Yeah. Sorry, sis.
That's life.
Sorry.
Sorry. Your face is killing me.
And like, not everyone is going to be perfect all the time.
This is it.
People, and this is not that.
We are not perfect all the time.
Not even a little bit. There's going to be times where you, you know, actively despise the person or despise, you know, something they've done. Or they'll despise you. I think giving people grace as well and understanding that nobody is perfect.
We're all trying.
This is it. And this is all we can do.
Give our best.
That's it.
That doesn't mean we're gonna be perfect, because you're not like that. Like yourself are not like that, even when you're by yourself. And I think this is actually another point for one of the earlier topics in terms of preparing yourself to start over. You actually need to start making commitments to yourself, and you need to start treating yourself in the way that you would expect other people to treat you, so that you actually know how hard it is sometimes to be a good person. And the reason why I say that is sometimes we expect things from people and we take it for granted because we don't know how hard it is sometimes to give it, because we assume that we would just give it naturally, right? Yeah. So for example, I want the next person I'm with to be generous, but we don't intentionally practice generosity, right? And we just assume being generous, it's an easy thing to do. If someone needs something, I'll give it. But how intentional have you been about being generous so that you know how challenging it actually is? Because until you know how challenging it is, you'll think that that person is not doing it out of laziness.
Yeah.
And you're not realizing that it's actually a personal challenge to live up to these expectations. Do you get what I mean? So I want somebody to message me all the time. Do you message people all the time? Is that because you find it easy, or is that because you're making an intentional effort to? Because for some people, it may be an intentional effort to do that. And until you realize that, you'll be thinking they're taking the lazy way or the easy way out, when actually this doesn't come naturally to them. So you're asking them to do so much that goes against their natural character that you're draining them, because you're not taking time to understand who they are as a person. You're really just trying to make them fit your criteria. And now you're forcing them to fit into a box they don't fit in. And that's very uncomfortable. That's an easy way to push people away, to not accept them for how they come and their natural process of evolution, but rather trying to force them to be something. Like we always say, this isn't build a man, this ain't build a woman, this ain't build a bear. What this is everyone's on a journey and you're going to meet someone in a, at a particular point in their journey. You have to appreciate the fact that they're still walking their path every single day. If you force them to be something they're not, you're going to be frustrated and they're going to feel like they're not enough.
Yeah. Wow. That was, oof. Courtney, those points landed. Those points landed. Let me tell you why. Because these things are often manifesting like the tiniest of things, right? Everyone's like, oh, you know, I want my partner to send me good morning messages every single morning. Do you know how tiring that is?
I don't even wake up early sometimes.
Do you know how tiring that is?
And you're going to be upset that I didn't send you a good... Was I awake?
Every morning, good morning, good morning, honey. Sometimes you're after, and the thing is, like, it context matters, right? Because you could have pissed the person off yesterday.
Yeah.
But tomorrow morning, you now want them to say, good morning, honey.
Because
I'm not going to lie, I'm working on myself. I haven't quite arrived.
This is I'm working on myself.
I'm working on it. I think it's one thing to articulate, you know, your love language and how you want to be, you know, loved and cherished. And it's another thing to expect it to be intuitive.
Yes.
I think a lot of us expect our partners, our friends, the people that love us to intuitively know how to love us.
Yeah.
But oftentimes you actually have to be very, very, very loud and very clear about how you want to be loved. And you also need to be reasonable because it's not just about you getting, but also you giving. Mm. I love what you said about practice how you want to be loved and see if it's actually feasible and understand the challenges that come with it because it's not easy. The messages
and you won't appreciate it when it comes.
Listen, the messages one is just an example. Even like things like gifts and stuff, like I expect, you know, random gifts and flowers. Do you know how expensive flowers are?
And if you saw how it's hurting your pocket, you would appreciate what you got. Do you get what I mean? It's and this is not to say lower your standards. Not at all. Not at all. What we're saying is realize what it takes to live up to your standards.
Yes.
It takes a lot.
Yes.
That's good. Challenge yourself to meet up to that, but don't expect someone to do something that you haven't done for yourself. Mm-hmm. And being alone is the perfect time to make yourself live up to that.
Yeah, 100. Oh, God, Courtney, you've really given us today. You gave what was supposed to be giving. My goodness. But yeah, no, we definitely challenge you to do that. And oh God, it's such a beautiful point, man. Genuinely practice how you want to be loved and really, really see it. And also don't assume that the way that you want to be loved is the way that everybody else wants to be loved.
This is it.
I think many of, like, all of us will say, oh, you know, I'm a great friend. I'm a great partner. I do X, Y, Z for this person. But have you actually asked them
how they receive love,
if they like it?
Yeah. I can actually give a personal example about that. Mm. So I am not a... I think gifts is on, well, it's changing now. If you want to send me stuff, send it. But gifts was the lowest thing. I'm just being real. Gifts was the lowest thing on my, the lowest one of my five love languages. Mm. And so I never expect gifts and I don't give gifts either because I don't compute sometimes how that can mean love, if that makes sense. I am big on quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, all of that, physical touch, all of that. But then I made friends and suddenly they are like, you didn't give me a birthday present. I'm thinking, yeah. And similarly, because when it was my birthday, I didn't expect you to give me anything either. But gifts were how they primarily received love. And it was causing big fractions in our relationship because it was like, I don't receive love the same way you receive love. Mm. So you can't expect to give what you would naturally receive because I'm not you.
Yeah.
And I think that that was one of the biggest challenges for me because I have to, and this is the thing, you have to learn other people. Mm-hmm. And in that also, what you were saying about everything that you expect might not come intuitively to the person you're expecting it from. So you have to learn to be patient. And a lot of us don't give people that grace of time to actually learn us and to start behaving properly, for a lack of a better term, right? Yeah. If I tell you I expect, for example, if I tell you my primary way of receiving love is quality time, I can't expect you to drop everything in your life to start spending time with me. You're going to have to rearrange your schedule. You're going to have to find a new daily routine, a new pace, all of that. I need to be patient with you actually making those changes.
That's true.
If I'm too aggressive with that and I haven't learned that I'm on a journey and you're on a journey, I will quickly become frustrated at the fact that I told you something last week and you haven't changed.
told it to you 6 days ago.
I was expecting something to have happened by now.
Ago, and you haven't changed your whole schedule.
Do you get what? But in that though, to be fair for both sides,
yeah,
you have to have open lines of communication with that. You know, if it's like, okay, well, I need to now learn to change my schedule and I'm working on it and I am making an active effort. Please just give me time. That's as simple enough as to say, be patient, you know?
For sure. And I think, especially when it's a love language that doesn't come naturally to you or it's something that you have stigma or trauma attached to it such that you actually don't like it at all. So an example that I can give is like one of my like past partners, his top like, what do you call it, love language was acts of service.
Okay.
And for me, being first daughter, second generation migrant, I don't like acts of service.
It's just free labor.
It feels like labor to me. It's something that I've done all my life. And it's like, wow, if you wanted a maid, you should have just said something instead. Do I look like a maid to you?
This is true.
It's like, no, acts of service. And I actually had to, it wasn't even just about, you know, performing the act, but also destigmatizing my relationship to the acts as well. I think some of us actually actively, it's not even just that we don't see the value of that particular love language, but we actively have either trauma or some kind of stigma attached to it such that it's actually not easy to do. Or for example, if you're somebody that is with someone that likes physical touch, but by all intents and purposes, physical touch is a sore point for you because you may have, you know, experienced abuse or something, that requires time to be able to show that. So I think, I love what you said about patience, because it really is, man, relationships are hard.
Friendships, hard. All of it is so tough. And we don't give it enough thought because it just seems like something, because we know we need it, it seems like something that's just automatically going to happen.
Yeah.
It takes work. Friendships take work. Relationships take work. Love takes work.
It takes
sacrifice. It takes all of that stuff. Big sigh. Okay, so then I guess lastly, and this is actually directly from the, well, to be honest, this whole episode is directly from the comments on that, our most recent Instagram post, but being open-minded versus knowing your standards, values, and preferences, right? So sometimes, for example, Pastor Mike Todd, rip up your list, right? All your expectations and stuff, the person you're going to be with, they're probably not going to match it. Be open-minded. But sometimes you need to have expectations, boundaries, standards, etc.
Yeah.
How do you balance being too rigid and being open-minded, but still knowing what it is that you need and want?
Bruh. I'm dumbfounded because that's a tough one. It's really, really sticky because I see both sides, right? It doesn't make sense. And I think we can't ignore the fact that when we are seeking partners, we do have things that we're looking for.
Yes.
We do have expectations. There are certain qualities, traits, even physical attributes that we look for. And I don't think, especially as women, I don't think we should be ashamed to say that we have preferences. Because I think there's also that, right? Like this whole rip up your list, right? And it's like, I get it. But then at the same time, I know that there's certain things I'm attracted to and I can't ignore them, right? However, some of us do take it a bit too far in the sense that some of our expectations or standards can be unrealistic, first of all. And we spoke about this in our last episode on dating, whereby we haven't even done the work as to understand whether our preferences or our stick figure man prefers us. Like, are you, in writing this list, do you match any of the qualities that you're looking for?
Yeah.
Or do you think that a person that has the qualities that you're looking for wants you? And have you done work to find out if that's the case? So I think it's definitely a double-edged sword. Speaking about being open-minded and being flexible. Listen, I have met many people who have talked about the fact that, you know, their partner, they had to, you know, grow on them.
Like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, he was a grower. he had to grow on me.
Oh dear.
He was a grower. And I think being open-minded just means that you know what you're looking for. You have like specific like expectations and you may have some non-negotiable values that are very, very important to actually the future of a relationship. They're not particularly self-oriented, but it's more so about thinking practically about how this relationship will work out in the future. So that considers things like finances, and not in the sense of he has to be earning this amount of money, but what is your mindset towards money?
That kind of compatibility.
Stuff. Precisely. Or, you know, even if we're thinking about things like physical attraction, right? Mm. This one is a sticky one for the sisters. Because I feel I think many women have, like, you know, the bog standard preferences of, I want a tall guy. But I think it's about having flexibility within those essentialisms, right? So, okay, cool. You like men that are 6 foot plus, but you could probably do someone that's 5'11", 5'10", 5'9". or you'd like somebody that is, you know, in a specific profession. But they're, you know, a bit of leeway because they might maybe, you know, dealing with things at the moment, or they may be in a transitional period in their life and you just want to see how things pan out. I think that being open-minded actually comes as a result of engaging with different types of people.
Yeah.
And genuinely having conversations with folks that you don't already associate yourself with in real life.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of standards as well are being informed by social media.
100%.
They're being informed by conversations with people you have never met and you will likely never meet, who don't know you, know nothing about you or your context.
Ooh.
So make sure that your preferences, your, you know, values and all of that good stuff. And listen, we're transparent around here. That's what TMS stands for. And we, by all intents and purposes, are very, very much invested in your wellness, your personal growth and all of that good stuff. However, at the end of the day, we always push you guys to have real conversations in person, because the moment you switch off this, you know, podcast, you've got to go live your life.
Facts.
And it may just be that the person that suits you the best doesn't fit all of your requirements. I think, do you know what? It's even, this is going to sound a bit controversial, I suppose. It's even the arrogance of thinking that you know exactly what you need. I actually think that's a little bit arrogant.
Spot on.
I think it's a little bit arrogant.
I kind of agree with you. I kind of agree. I think that, and also, love's not easy. In friendship too, I think you've touched on the romantic relationship, but even in the aspects of friendship, you may find yourself gravitating towards someone you never thought they had, a different race, a different social class, but you're getting on like a house on fire. Listen. Even different kinds of humor, but you're doing really well, right? And it's easy to not allow yourself to be challenged to really form relationship with them because it seems like it's going to be harder than if you had your perfect type.
Bruh.
You know?
Bruh.
Sometimes what you get is what you need and it doesn't look like what you want.
Listen, and you know what? Even the conversation around, like, because the normal rebuttal to that is, oh, I don't want to feel like I'm settling.
Okay. But you know what, sometimes you're not settling. Sometimes you're actually being forced to come up higher.
I'm glad you said it, because that's exactly what I was thinking.
Sometimes you're being forced to come up higher. Live up to the challenge or not.
Because how do you know that the stick figure man that you've put together, how do you know, and this is not to belittle anyone, but how do you know the person that you prefer would not feel like they were settling if with they were you. To be with you.
With you. But I guess because we all think we're bringing something this to the table.
I'm bringing something to the table.
I am the table.
I am the table. I'm the cutlery on the table.
Silly rebuttal. I am the table. And so...
Still got to put something on it. Still got to put something on it.
Still got to eat.
Listen, it really is about diversifying your experiences. I love the fact you touched on friendships as well, because I have some friends who, by all intents and purposes, if you were to look at us on paper, you'd be like, but why are you friends?
Yeah.
Like, you're such different people.
Yeah.
But they have been some of the most fulfilling friendships that I have ever had, because we're so different.
Yeah.
And again, this is not for you to go against the grain and, you know, them ones where people like date people just for the, like they're different, you know, opposites attract thought it wasn't going to work. And
don't make it performative.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
What we are saying is definitely have, you know, I guess, non-negotiables in that you're being practical about the foundational stuff when it comes to relationships, you know, communication, you know, character, finances, foundational basic stuff. And then of course have your preferences, because you can't help what you're attracted to. I mean, you can to an extent, I won't lie. We are definitely, listen,
conditioned.
We know that we are, you know, socially conditioned. We know that we do not operate outside of, you know, patriarchy and all sorts of other social forces. Not to that. However, there are, let's keep it real, there are certain things you're more attracted to than others. That doesn't mean that those people that have those kind of features or those specific characteristics, that doesn't mean those are the only people you will ever be attracted to.
This is it.
This so is he it. Doesn't have a beard. Okay.
Yeah. For some, No. I'm just saying in the sense that it really comes down to you personally. We can't tell you what to strike off your list. We can't tell you what to put on it. Mm. All we can say is, like you said, there are foundational things which you're going to have on your list, which are complete non-negotiables, right? For some people, it could be faith. It could be ideologies. It could whatever it may be. But there are other things which may be more aesthetic or whatever, which for you may be like, it's a non-negotiable, as in the opposite completely turns me off and it's going to be impossible. Fine, then that's a non-negotiable, but really assess where these things are coming from and if it's actually a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
There are some things we tell ourselves in the stance of, I just have my standards and I should be allowed to have that. Okay, you're going to probably be looking for a really long time. And if you are committed to that time, then that's fine. That in itself is fine. You've got to make a compromise somewhere. And for you, it may be because I'm not compromising on my list, I'm happy to compromise on the time that it takes me. I can happily look for Mr. Right and Mr. Perfect for the rest of my life till I meet him. That's fine. Or with your friendships, if you don't fulfill all of these things for me, I don't need a close friend. I don't need a best friend. I will happily take the challenges of life on my own. You're saying I'm getting ready to be used to that hardship. That's a personal choice. So I feel like what just become realistic about the actual true realities, the realities of the choices that you are making and what you're committing yourself to. That's what I'd say. But I think you've summarized being open-minded versus having standards really, really well. I love that.
I love that.
I've loved this conversation.
This has been good.
Shout out to the girls in the comments. You read these suggestions. Great suggestions. Thank you.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming. But on that note, talk to us in the comments. Let us know if you want to see other episodes from us. Let us know topics and conversation topics, sis. But also, what are your thoughts on dealing with a breakup and its aftermath? Yes. Whether it be friendship, whether it be platonic or romantic. Or how do you deal with being lonely and feeling alone? And how do you open yourself up to receive the goodness that is coming your way? Please let us know in the comments here on YouTube. Or if you are listening to us on Spotify or Apple, you can come over to YouTube and leave a comment. Or you can go over to our Instagram at To My Sisterhood and let us know under our content over there. Or you can send us a message and come and say hi to us individually at Renee Kapuku and at CD Boating.
And of course, don't miss out on the big party over on the mailing list, guys. Join us, subscribe. The link will be down below if you are watching us on YouTube. If you are listening, then hop on over to YouTube or you can follow us, as Courtney said, on our socials. Guys, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you very, very soon. And remember, of course, keep glowing and growing.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.